Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word, and my indelible. I can't think of no indelible. My indelible co-host, Miss Brown Sugar, and of course tonight we got a special show for you. Tonight we're gonna be talking about what is a red pill. What a red pill is all about, why it's important or unimportant. We're just gonna figure it out tonight. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get in on that, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Yes, grateful citizen, red pill. 347-826-7435. Is the call-in number. Also, if you wanna ask questions, we're taking questions, comments, concerns in the Smooth Drama chat room. Go to www.smoothdrama.com. Dive in. Tell us what you think. We're gonna have a special guest to come on, talk about it. So you got them questions. We're taking all questions in the chat room. No questions go unanswered. Social media. Your own Smooth Drama group in Facebook, or you want to be in on it, just ask to join myself or Mr. J. He of ghostwriting credits on Midnight Marauders. The other album, Midnight Marauders. Not Tribe Called Quest, Midnight Marauders.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought that's where he was going.
No, the other one. Oh. Yeah, it didn't.
I was going to say, I didn't know there was another one.
Yeah, it sold popsicle wood, so it didn't do that well.
Popsicle wood.
It sold popsicle wood. So you want to get in the Smooth Drama group, just ask to get in on Facebook. And anywhere else, you can follow us, add us on social media. We will follow, add you back, and we can talk a taste. Yeah. Now, so Grateful Citizen is asking, like, red or blue to learn unsettling truth? No. Actually,
Unsettling truth for
men. Unsettling truth. Is it okay?
I mean, that's how they're looking at it. So yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah. I guess I guess I can't really and truly explain it, because mm-hmm. obviously, I'm not.
It's not your thing.
Yeah, it's not my area of expertise. So I will cede that territory to the gentleman when he calls in. Should be interesting night. And I mean, speaking of interesting nights, it's been interesting day. I guess tomorrow here in the Bay Area is going to be First Friday. So
the first Friday in a long time.
First Friday in a long time, right? So what's the over under on the dramatic shootout? Does it start before 7 or a little bit after?
You know, it's funny you should say that. Where I live higher up than some of the other people, and you can hear the gunshots echoing And at 6 o'clock, they had already started. And that's kind of early. So usually they don't start till like maybe 10 or 11, 6:30. It's probably about a few. It was about eight or nine rounds that went off. So I don't know. It's a toss up.
Well, yeah,
I mean, it depends on how early they start with their nonsense. If they on their nonsense tonight and it carries into tomorrow, then yeah, it's going to start off early.
Yeah. I mean, because that's what we're saying, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about you're going to have a bunch of people together. And I think we've shown that a bunch of people together hasn't worked well during the apocalypse.
No.
It's not working well at all. So yeah, my over under. I got 7:30. I got 7:30 because it starts getting dark, and it's like that old freaks come out at night.
Yeah.
You know. Or,
one, two.
Yeah, and so if we go by that, and then I remember Richard Pryor used to always say, "Hey, y'all wake no 11:30. Everybody come out at 11:30 because it's the apocalypse. It's gonna happen before 11:30. Bring It Boy. No.
Hey, Bring It Boy.
I didn't vote yesterday.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
How you doing, sir?
Doing good. Hope y'all had a good day so far.
It's been good, and we're looking forward to having a better night. So,
yeah,
you want to introduce yourself to the people and talk to us about what you want to talk about tonight?
Yeah, so, you know, I was kind of under the pressure to talk about, you know, the red pill and its effect with black men and kind of like how it's connected with Kevin Samuels and how it's kind of spread throughout the ether, so to speak, right? So my name's Jeff. I'm from Texas. I would not say I'm high value, but I would say I'm above average. But I'm not asking for something crazy out there. So before y'all try to roast me, I'm just here to kind of like offer my perspective of the red pill and you know, kind of one of those men that takes what he says to heart.
So, I mean, you said red pill. So can you give us a definition? What is a red pill?
I mean, you want a really technical definition of it, or?
No, I mean, because I've seen what people call it, but for the everyday person, because there's what Google says. But then when you look into different groups and you read the comments, whatnot, I want to know what the everyday layman says a red pill is. I don't care what quote-unquote establishment says. I'm saying, what y'all say?
The red pill is a reinvigoration of traditional masculinity by rejecting kind of the toxic parts of progressive culture and the toxic parts of feminism. So it's not, I mean, it has its spectrums, right? You can, on the far end, you have your incels and your, if you would even go even further, you have probably some like diehard, like, you know, misogynist, borderline racist people. But, you know, I'm a little bit on the middle, probably towards the little further to the left, but it's basically someone who is removing themselves from the way we talk about gender politics today and putting men on the path they need to be the best version of themselves. And also, while also having the leverage and negotiation of power to get the best out of the world.
Okay. So you
Does
said,
that make sense? I feel like I threw a lot of words in there.
It makes sense. And so, like I said, I just want to know where we're going. So, and I want you to educate the people because a lot of people don't know about it. And so this is you're the professor. So, professor, what do you consider toxic? What would be toxic femininity, and what would you say is toxic towards masculinity nowadays in our society?
From a holistic, okay, women wanting equal rights and equal pay is not toxic femininity. Let's put that out. Let's put that out to bed. Like, that's not toxic at all, right? That's not fair. What the problem is we are aggrandizing men, and by aggrandizing, I mean putting all the blame on masculinity and not accounting for specific cultures, not accounting for the way gender politics have swayed in recent years. And we're kind of at a point where women have been sold this new wave of feminism where they feel entitled to deserve to have it all. They feel like they can never be wrong. It can never be their actions that led to the consequences that they're currently dealing with. And it can either be offloaded to, again, the patriarchy or a man, or basically just a man's fault.
Okay. So, there's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, I can agree with. I mean, I was going to say there's toxic femininity, right? So because we talk about toxic masculinity, that to me there's such a thing as toxic femininity. And I think we're going through that phase of it now.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll let you finish.
No, I was saying that was my point. I'm agreeing with you there. There's some toxic femininity that is running rampant at this particular point in time.
Yeah.
I can agree with that.
So let's look at it like this. Why is it called toxic masculinity if men are voicing their concern that they are tired of single mothers? How is that toxic to women? I mean, dude, we're not the ones who chose your father, the father of your child. We don't need – and oh, I'll give you even better. Why is it when men talk about this, the first argument to bring up is a man's money? Oh, you don't make enough money to talk the way you do about single mothers or about bigger women you may not be interested in, or, you know, a woman's body count. Like that is really toxic. Because it has nothing to do with my own standards. Like, it would be like me telling women, okay, well, you want a guy over 6 feet, but you don't make enough money to demand a guy over 6 feet. What the hell does that have to do with anything?
I've railed against the height thing for a long time. There's the thing where women say a short guy can't defend me. I mean, I got a couple short homies that are black belts. I say to them, I can't fight. they're the ones that, you know, these dudes are black belts.
Y'all say
like,
if they break out, we're going to get behind them and not you.
Yeah, I'm rolling with
them.
That's
over 6 feet.
Hey, I'm 6'1". And my capoeira is limited. So
I've only done title boxing for 2 weeks, and that's about as far as my hands go.
I got three moves, right? And so it's like, so there's some generals. Like you said, the money. And it's like, you don't have no money. But, yeah, so you will shut up to a guy who's got money.
Right.
But a guy who has a valid point.
Yeah, what you're signaling to men is you can be bought. Your compliance is bought. And all I have to do is hit 100K. Not that hard to do. But if I do it, that means I can tip. Like what did Dave Chappelle say? Shut the fuck up, money.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. I mean, depending on where you are, 100K is not even a lot. Right? So it's just weird that we're at that point. And, like, I honestly don't even see the difference between a guy who makes $80K and $100K. It's not that big a gap.
Well, Well, I mean, first, money, it's not about how much you make, it's about how much you spend. So if you're an intelligent budgeter, you're budgeting right, you don't have, and I'm going to use that toxic word, you don't have toxic spending habits, I think you'll be okay. I think you'll be okay. I've got my issues, and I know, like you said, you're a moderate, so you'd say you're a moderate, but I've read some of the extreme version.
Oh man, I've dabbled in the extremes, and that is fucking hilarious. I tell you what, that shit is the most contradicting shit.
Yes.
So on the far end, you have your incels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for those that don't know, incel is a term for involuntarily celibate. Yeah, they're guys who have taken the red pill, but they feel that because of women's hypergamy, they'll never have sex, and so they're just mad at the fucking world about it.
Well, I think because they're not having sex, they're mad as fuck. So there's that part. And I think that there's the personality disorder, which is you don't have one and you expect people to want to be around you even though you're boring as hell. It's you have to engage people, and I think there's a middle ground here. Obviously, you're going to have people who disagree on things. And quite honestly, there could be two people who are intelligent, motivated, whatnot, and maybe they're just not for each other. And that's fine, too. I think what's happening here is, so like you say, you're a moderate. And I'll say I'm a moderate. But then we don't hear moderation. We hear the extremes on all sides. Those are the loud voices, and so the extremes run the argument, and so we get caught up in this foolishness. You know, I mean, one divine user in the chat room was talking about Kevin Samuels is almost a religion right now with high value men. I didn't know who Kevin Samuels was. I didn't know who it was. My co-host had to tell me who that was, because obviously, why am I listening to a guy talking about, I already know I'm a guy already.
Yeah. So,
and that's the thing, he's a voice though, like where men didn't have a platform before. So he's been their platform, and a lot of them are really taking his message out of context to me. Like, I listen to him on occasions, not as much, because a lot of times I can't stomach what he's saying because I know his words are going to be twisted. So it's like, okay, I'm just not even going to be bothered. But these
I don't understand the pushback.
These are things that men have always talked about, so.
Yeah, I don't understand the pushback from him, because it's not like he's saying anything that extreme. What he's doing is he's taking away the entitlement. And see, black men especially, a lot of times black women, y'all treat us like we're sons and not people, or not your peers. You know, sons are to shut up and not buck, right?
As a black woman who has sons, a lot of it is out of protection. I will be in defense of that. I mean, we see what happens in the world. We've heard stories. You know what I mean? We've had relatives experience things where they probably needed to be protected and weren't. So, you know, I think some black people do think for a woman who values black men, which I think I'm one of them, it's really out of protection for me. I mean, you know, the down talking and stuff like that, that's a little bit different, but, you know, it is. It's out of protection.
Because, but I guess I don't understand, because it's not like, if you take what he actually says he's basically saying, I'm evaluating the things that men don't like about you and against what you say you want or what you say you deserve, and it's lacking. I mean, he goes hard on dudes who are making 30K trying to smash virgins. Like,
yeah.
It'll add up, like, it makes sense, right? And it's like, you know, when, like, I don't know if it's, I don't, I really feel like it's more like a black woman thing, because, like, y'all are so self-interested as a group, and in some ways, black men who are not on board with the same narratives, it's like, instead of addressing what they're saying, we'd rather deflect and say, well, you're gay, or you like white women, but like, what they say is typically not, like, too out of bounds.
Okay, so now we're talking about what we like, what we dislike. So now I ask, so as a red pill man, what do you like? What is a red pill man's ideal woman?
Most would say, I agree. I want someone feminine. I need that. Like, and feminine and submissive to an extent. I don't need, by submissive, I don't mean be a slave. I don't mean, you know, sit down and shut up and make me a sandwich. No, I just mean, I don't want to come home to an abrasive nagging bitch. Like, normal. But I want softness. I want, you know, care. I want to feel like I'm needed and wanted in the household. And a lot of women fail to give their men that because of past issues, or, you know, it's, I'm independent, I don't need no man or whatever. And it's like, well, I still need, on a primitive level, I still need to feel needed. Even if you're making 300K a year, I still need to feel like you need me.
Okay.
And I still want to come home to you being, like, soft. Like, you can turn off all that, all the stuff you do to go out there to fight the world and be the boss lady. Like, when I get home, I want my soft wife.
Okay. So in saying that, a woman, being the devil's advocate, would say, well, where's that soft, vulnerable?
You know what? You don't even have to be the woman. I am. Where? not that men, because we're speaking in general terms, but a provider. And so I you know, because I'm in the group, you know, as well. That's how we connected. And I know there's a lot of men talk about providing and protection. And I'm just like, at what point, like, what are you providing and what are you protecting? And, you know, a lot of them will bring up, well, if somebody comes into the house, but, you know, how often does that happen? And I think women look at it more as, now, like, I'm working, I'm cooking, I'm cleaning, I'm taking care of the kids, and you just come home. And, yeah, you're...
I don't believe in that.
But when are you going to use that protection that you say that you have for me? When am I protected? Because I would like to be protected with you maybe cleaning the kitchen, protect me from some housework, maybe.
So, Jeff, we have a question. You can answer that, but we have a question for you that someone in the chat room wants to know. Are you married?
No.
All right. So you answer the question now. Or make your comment. Sorry.
No, I'm not married. No. I'm doing a cybersecurity program right now, so I don't think it's conducive for a serious relationship at this point.
Okay.
So cybersecurity means
it's extensive.
Okay.
I'm doing a boot camp program.
Ah, okay. All right. So since we've talked about the red pill, we've given a rough dissertation on what a red pill is Red Pill Society. And then we talked about what, you know, you as a representative of said society would like in a woman. So then I asked this, because, you know, we talked about you got two dissenting sides. How do you solve the problem?
Well, it's like I said, women need to learn how to turn off the masculine energy. So most women work, right? You're doing whatever to get the resources you have. When you're home, you need to learn how to turn off the energy you use to get those resources. Like, we want cooperation, we want femininity, and you need to be strong enough within yourself to tell us what you need for that to thrive. You can't expect us to guess at it. I mean, I want it, but I'm okay if you're saying, okay, well, in order for me to do that, can you, you know, clean the bathroom or clean the kitchen? Okay, fine. I'll do that. I don't have a problem with that. As long as I got my cooperative, submissive wife, like, I will help out. I will do that. Like, I think that's a fair trade.
So now we're talking about fair trades. And you know, I know we talked about black women. So do you think that this is an exclusive black woman problem?
I think it's, yeah, because there's a lot of factors that go into why it's harder for black women, I think. I think, you know, racism, feminism, the fact that a lot of black women a lot of black women, modern black women, saw our culture shift from patriarchal to matriarchal, and that has its own set of problems and dynamics, which we are now dealing with the fallout of that.
Okay.
We're a generation or two removed from, you know, black men being incarcerated from the crack epidemic, from, you know, gang wars in the 90s, and now everybody's kind of independent. And so, you know, the last vestiges of our family is always Big Mama, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, that's the last big head of the family. Unlike other cultures, you know, most other cultures are patriarchal. Like, their grandfather or, you know, Big Dad is the head of the thing. We know that in Hispanic culture, it's the same in Asian culture, same in Arab culture. So with us, we're dealing with these problems, and black women, like, have kind of been, like, sold a lie. And Kayla talked about this last night. Like black women have been sold this cosmopolitan dream of consumerism, right? They wanted to get you to flock to the big cities and spend. And you see it on Instagram, right? It's all about getting the bag, hot girl summer, getting a man to pay for you, which is funny, because not even at the turn of the century, 2000s, y'all were talking about no scrubs and being independent and buying your own shit. Now in the last 3 years, you need us to pay for shit. So which is it?
I would say that they don't. It's probably a combination of both. Get someone to pay for it, then why not? That's probably the mindset of most of those women. But I feel like, honestly, why are men concerned with women that they wouldn't be interested in to begin with anyway? I mean, if you're, you know what I mean, if you're a working class man, most of those women, you may not even know. You know what I'm saying? Those would not be your women anyway.
So, and on that point, We're gonna take a break here, right? Because there's that point we're gonna explore when we come back from break. And there's also I want to talk about that racism part, because I think there's some stuff that we need to explore. So we're gonna take a break here. This is Roscos. If then.
First, motherfuckers won't even make it to the court. They'll fight you and your bitch, buried in the Angela. the Wu-Tang debut. Now who remain true to the game? Damn shame it wasn't you. Who's late claim to fly rhymes, but I terrorize their lines. My mind's a porcelain Glock 7, slipping through the metal detector. Ready to wet you like baptism. It's rap pugilism when I be placing 208 songs in one zone with microphones. I'm like the Blade Runner hunting clones. I beat it like one glove and a bad nose job with more breathing techniques than Lamar. But I still be drinking more liquor brews and continue to liquidation the crews with a drunken technique like shooting come for one virtual body too. See me, son, I'm the one sporting Dolce and Gabbana. Filling his bastard's wig back like cradle cap. You ain't no cap, just a gorilla. And for who you decide to kill, you need more guys than zip. I break them off like acrylic nails. Test me, but you appear to be Presley like Priscilla. And still a little resistance, position. 10% this, 90% deal. So curses, oil the game like curses kisses. The so-called bitches, although, how they gonna be a menace when it ain't no man in it? Oh, they women in it. In the new year, a new fear, and I'm nuclear. Let's play a friendly game of who can ruin whose career. I'm a killer for your B-boy, you like one of heavy D-boys. Got niggas falling off the stage like they was trouble keyboards. If it's a fake shit, but holds and trace.
Your host, Mr. F the N Word, and Miss Brown Sugar. That was Roscoe. If then 347-826 is 7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. We've got our special guest on, Professor Jeff, and he's schooling us tonight on what a red pill is, and we gonna get more in depth into it. So now, you know, we talked about the racism, right? And you say it's you say it was more black women. So just as a sociologist by trade and the study of people, you know, I think we can overgeneralize sometimes, because I know whole generations of people who married parents together didn't have single parents. I think that there's a few things here. There's the general racism and how a certain community is targeted and put into a situation, but then we look around, it still seeps into society in general, right? Because we talk about the crack epidemic, but we're right now in the middle of the opioid epidemic. And
right.
So I would say that if we talk racism, I think Asian community, Hispanic community, white community. There's divorces, there's single parents, there's parents who are together. I think we can say, oh, there's overabundance, but I think that's, it's concentrated in certain areas, and then there's other areas where people are like, well, what are y'all talking about? Because we sensationalize the fringes, right? Because that's what we were talking about. Like you say, you're a moderate, I'm a moderate. But moderation ain't sensationalized. You know, you only hear the crazy on each side. You don't hear the middle. And so we talk about like bad neighborhoods, right? We know in a bad neighborhood, it's only 10% of the population that's bad. Now they make it horrible, but it's still only 10%. The other 90% are living. And so I think when we talk about relationships and people dealing with each other, I think, and maybe I could be wrong, but I think it's still more like you'll have 10-15% that are fucking up. Then you'll have 85% of that they're okay. They don't have that massive drama. I mean, I'm just curious, and because every situation, even if you got two parents, can be filled with drama. So I'm just like in the racism part, because I just think that all races go through it.
I mean, I don't know, Jeff, if you wanted to talk, if you're more versed in like the divorce rate and what that means and how men look at marriage because of that.
I mean, I'm looking at, okay, so I'm bridging racism more along the lines of, okay, black men specifically were locked out of what you would call provider level income for a long time. And we've been making gains over time, but we're now at a place where, you know, it's easier, right, to make that socioeconomic jump. So this idea of, well, he's got to make six figures. Like we're really late to the party. We just got here, right? We just got to the candy store. I mean, let's like slow down a little bit and like figure out what the hell is going on.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, so when you say we just got to the candy store, because I would say that historically we had been in the candy store. And then you would have folks who would come in and steal all the candy, and then we have to go back and start making some new candy. All
right, but what I'm saying, I guess what I mean is like, so okay, the average black man makes $40K, the average black woman makes $42K, and mm-hmm. we're like, you know, we're slowly climbing up. We have more avenues to climb up in an income now. Whereas before we really didn't have those avenues, but it's like, you know, money has become such a central fixture with us. And I feel like we're just doing it because, you know, it's what the mainstream society says you have to do. Like, I don't know, like,
Well, I would, you know, I hear you. I agree with that. I mean, because there's targeted advertising, right? I mean, we know every word that we say is listened to. I mean, everybody here has a phone, and you're on the internet on whatever device you're on, and everywhere, if you look something up or you talk about something, we know damn well it's going to show up in our algorithm, right? You're going to see it. I look up 3D printers. I'm going to see advertisements for 3D printers for the next 3 weeks till I say something different. So that there's that targeted thing. And then there's, hey, y'all like this, so I'm going to hit you. You're going to get gold chains. I mean, so you target what folks like, and you just keep giving it to them. And it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, I think. If we're talking about advertising, I mean, because I used to work in advertising, and I mean, you basic advertising is you're telling folks, when you're selling to an advertiser, you're saying, hey, I'm going to make your dreams come true by teaching you how to make as much money as possible. And those advertisers act that out. And so they go to the consumer with that same thing. This is your dream come true. That's what they're selling. And that's what the consumer is buying. Like, I got this, so I'm good. I mean, we know we're coming up into the Christmas season. And we know what happens now. People get killed because folks are living up to this Christmas fantasy. So all of these things come into consideration. Then, of course, I'm sure your favorite holiday, Valentine's Day, Lupercalia, whichever one you want to call it, all that stuff plays into it. Consumerism. So yes, the money plays a part, and then we have our social cultural norms. I mean, I think young people do what young people do, and then they get older and realize, yeah, it's not so cool. Some people get it, and then there's the other people who stay stuck there, and that's their issue. And so I think Brown Sugar said something where she said, hey, we have men who complain about women that they would never date. And so as a man, you know, that the women that we're talking about, I don't think they're checking for me, and I'm not checking for them. So it's kind of... There's no...
Are we talking about like...
Huh?
Are we talking about like... I guess, Sugar, what can you elaborate on, like, complaining about women we'll never date?
Well, I mean, okay, so I'm not into street guys. I don't date men in jail. And I'm not going to sit around and complain about the ones that are in jail because I'm not looking for those men. I'm not going to say, oh, all the men are in jail and, you know, and... It's sad because I look at it as a society thing, but as far as like dating, those aren't my guys. That's not the demographic I'm going for. So like we're both in the group, and you know, a lot of men talk about, you know, the strong black independent woman, and I'm not a man, so I don't know like how many women, you know, portray themselves that way, or how many women men come across that way. But are those really the women that you're looking for anyway? Because in the group, men will say, well, we're visual. So, okay, that's cool. And because she has a nice body and maybe a cute face, but what about her attitude? And then it's like, well, that's an afterthought.
Okay. So the funny thing is the red pill was actually born out of issues with women that men wanted. And so all these complaints are coming from women we interact with that we wanted on some level. I mean, the bad deals that are out there on the dating market that women try to sell men on is insane. And it's like, we're visual, right? So I'm initially like, okay, this girl looks attractive on some level. All right, let me holler at her. Oh, your son is your king and you got three of them? and I'm gonna come in fifth? Not really. And oh, and I need to pay all the bills? Yeah, no, that's not no. Or like, you know, like you said, she's strong, independent, and then like she ain't got no time for you, and she wants to like run a relationship. Like I initially wanted her, but when she started voicing her demands or her conditions, I was like, okay, I'm out. And I'm like, it's like, you know, well, damn, either I lose a girl I'm attracted to or I deal with this bad deal she's giving me. So the red pill comes from men saying, okay, fuck this. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to focus on me. So when I come back to the market, I can say, okay, you, this is what I need. If you're on my program, get away. And because I have all that value, the ones that I want are going to just come along.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So now here's where as a devil's advocate I retort. So I would say maybe, and I say this on all sides, maybe you're just looking in the wrong group. See, because like you say, we could say attractive. This brown sugar say there's attractive. But then there's mental attraction. So, because there's a group of women that I would say, I would describe as hiding in plain sight. They're awesome, but they're not flaunting. So, see, sometimes we see the flaunting women. But those are the ones that aren't good for you, and so you red pill. And I finished my point. Red pill is born off the women you say you're attracted to. But I'm saying maybe the attraction is toward the wrong group of women, because there's a certain certain circles that you probably should be running in that you're not. And that's why you run in this circle and you're going to run into the exact same roadblock type women. But if you ran in another circle, you run into the hiding in plain sight women.
Now, okay, the part about like attraction and all that, I think we need to understand like red pill men, we're not saying beauty is a measure of perfection. Or measure a lack of flaws. Beauty is a measure of the collection of your strengths and how they fit together, right? And so when we're approaching and dealing with these women, we're not saying it, oh, she's visually perfect. She's just what I like, and that can range the spectrum or whatever. But, you know, like you said, she's offering something, or she's got these conditions that are just terrible if I had to go along with it. And it's only going to be bad for me. All responsibility, no upside.
Okay. Yeah, right. So I like I said, I heard you, but I know I heard you agree with me, and I think what's happening is this. So the normal socializing has kind of like gone away. So it's like, where do people get together? Right? I mean, because if you're not a club or a bar guy, where do you go to meet people? Because people don't just like, I mean, there's not places where people just hang out and be cool. So like for me, I'm a comic book publisher. And I can tell you, at comic book conventions, it's like 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people. And more than half of them are women who are walking around half naked in their costumes, whatnot. They're straight up. They're by themselves. They're by themselves. And, you know, it's hilarious. A lot of those cosplayers, they're women. Now, and so... As a black man, I can tell you about 20-30% of the people that go to comic book conventions are black men, right? But there's an overabundance of women that are there, unaccompanied, unaccompanied. I'm saying unaccompanied. So in highlighting that, once again, circles, like traveling, you know, I've done some traveling. I see groups of women on vacation unaccompanied. So you see, we start saying, okay, so where's the new dynamic of finding people? Because, I mean, quite honestly, I would the club or the bar, no. And I mean, if you want to go to Starbucks and take that chance on somebody calling the police on you because you're just sitting on your laptop in Starbucks,
Yeah. There's
that.
Or more.
But where else would you find women who their mind is a little bit more open? They're alone, unaccompanied, and they're just living life. I mean, because I think if those groups met, if you was running, red pill guys were running in those circles, I think they would probably do a tad bit better. Just a tad bit better.
Well, they have to relax some too. So.
Yeah. And see, so, okay, on the extreme end of the red pill, so your point about circles is really profound, and it's funny because the guys on the extreme end of the spectrum, a lot of their issues come from where they're trying to get female interaction from. And a lot of the resentment is based on being in certain situations where they never feel good enough or they never feel good enough to get any attention. And I'm like, okay, because these guys aren't really like social like that. I mean, they're social like online and whatever. They can spit or befriend someone really quickly online, but they're really bad at interpersonal, like in-person communication. So their main feedback point is typically online dating, and that shit will destroy a man's confidence real fucking quick.
Right. So that's a whole other thing. So we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Where are you calling from and what can we do you for?
I'm calling from Oakland.
Okay.
And I just have a question, well, a comment really. You know, Jeff, is Dr. Jeff, I think you're making a lot of generalizations. And I don't know how old you are. How old are you? How old is he?
I'm 33.
Right. So 33. I think that, you know, a lot of the things, there is some merit to some of the things you're saying, but I think that, you know, when you look at the big picture and you see, you know, when you're dating, it takes this kind of a two-sided thing when you meet people, right? So it's kind of also your approach. And you can't really control how another person behaves, but you could also choose, you know, like how you're going to you know, what your approach is and how you're going to interact with them, right? But I mean, with the way you're talking, it just sounds very like doom and gloom. And I think that, you know, you have more control in the situation than maybe you think, you know, and it's not always negative. I mean, I've never thought about asking a man for money or, you know, that to me, that's kind of a sort of strange thing, right? Like, how am I living anyway before I meet this person? I think it's kind of, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. And even people I socialize with, they don't ask men for money. So I think a lot of this stuff is blown up by the media. I think it's blown up by people like Kevin Samuel. I think that Kevin Samuel he's become popular because he's become the voice of the men who really just don't have a clue. And so that's just my opinion. So.
Well, I think also Kevin Samuels is from a different generation as well. He's in his 50s. So, you know, him speaking in terms of, like, what used to be, and he doesn't, like, pertain it to, like, what's happening now, like how the world is now. The world just isn't like what he talks about anymore.
And I was going to say,
he does attract, but the people that call onto that show, they're young women. They're in their 20s and their 30s and everything, and those are the people that are calling. And he's calling those people, I mean, they're empty, and they become the representative for the rest of women. I mean, he's choosing those specific people that are looking for men for money, and they don't represent women as a whole. I just think women are getting a bad rap in general, and, you know, that's the key, I think. You know, I mean, the bottom line is you have to have an open mind, and you can't just classify people, you know, in one fell swoop like that. So that's just my opinion. So thank you for taking my call.
So
thank you, Cole, for calling. All right, Jeff, you want to retort?
Yeah. So she sounds like a nice lady. So it's one of those two things can be true at once. One, yes, you can control how you interact with people. And two, yes, you can meet shitty people or shitty stuff. Like, it's not a – I'm not saying it's one or the other. But also, if men are collectively saying the same thing, why is it all of a sudden a generalization? Like,
I mean, it's not all women are – like, I've never asked any man that I've dated for money. I've never asked any man I've paid for dates. So, you know, when men talk like that, it's kind of, you know, it's not that it's strange, because I know women that have done that, but it's not all women.
Wait, what? You paid for a date?
Yeah, I've bought drinks. I've taken men to movies. I mean, if I'm interested in him, I don't have a problem with it. And I think maybe that might be some of the issue that some of the men have, is that if a woman is interested in a man, then she doesn't necessarily mind if she sees, like, it could possibly go somewhere, or, you know, even outside of a romantic relationship, they could be friends or cool, in, you know, in a sense.
Well, okay. Again, if most of us are saying the same thing, we're not pulling it out of our ass. So
no.
It apparently happens. Apparently it happens enough for Kevin Famous to get the platform. Yes. So it's like the behavior's out there. I mean,
I think a lot of that is social media. So, like, if you're hitting up Instagram models, then, yeah, that's what they're there for. If you're buying into OnlyFans, yeah, that's what they're there for. I mean, so, you know.
If I pull up my Facebook dating app, I could probably run into a chick that's asking for that crazy shit.
Yeah,
I think one out of every maybe 5 or 6 are doing that.
They're there for that. They came for that. They didn't come to meet anybody new. They came for someone to pay their bills.
Yeah, I mean, so yes, so we talk about Kevin Samuels, and we talk about the difference in generations, right? So this generation is the first internet generation, right? So, and we're talking about people who they measure their lives by clicks, and so for us who came before that, before the click was everything, we don't understand it. And so I, as someone who's around children and mid-age children, teenagers, whatnot, on a fairly regular basis, it is infuriating. And at the same time, you see that there are adults who have fallen into that trap also. So like she said, OnlyFans and Instagram models, cosplay. As a comic book publisher, cosplay people who have booths. I'm trying to get what that is. You have nothing, but you're wearing the costumes of something that somebody else created. I don't know why. And so, I just like OnlyFans, it's like in Twitch, people watch people play video games, and so TikTok. People watch other people dance. I don't have it. I don't want to watch. The only time I watch people dance, and I'm famous for this. I've said it. I watch white people dance when I'm on vacation. And it's the greatest thing in the world for me. It's that's my vice. So when I say that, I'm saying people aren't living. So I think that has something to do with it too. And once again, I keep reiterating the circles, because I see unaccompanied women on the regular at comic book conventions. I go to expos. As a publisher, I'm at Indiana Black Expo. Oh my God. It's like 8, 9, 10 to 1. And I'm saying there are no guys here. No guys here. It's women everywhere by themselves.
That's daunting. That can sound daunting.
It's my favorite summertime pastime. So I would say, you know, not to the fringe, because the fringe are just gonna be the fringe. They're just gonna be mad. I'm gonna say to the quote unquote moderates out there. Avenues, where you're driving to. What's that old song? Do you know where you're going to?
Yeah.
Do you like the things that life is showing?
Diana.
Yeah. Yeah. So, where are you going? So, if you're going to the same places, and you know, like you said, you're gonna get wrecked on the internet. Try going where people go. Where actual people go, where actual people are outside. It's amazing when you see people outside, because like I said, I can go to the lake here in the Bay Area, and it's a lot of women walking around by themselves. I'm not trying to sound like a creep. I'm just saying it's as an observation. No, but so I ride my bike, and sometimes I ride around the lake, and it's like 3-4 women walking with each other by themselves.
I mean, we're kind of putting this on Jeff or whatever, but it's not really about him individually. It's about like it seems like a nation of men. And like I was telling Mr. F the N-word earlier, that for me, some of the stuff that I read is like legit. Like I can see where some men have a problem. So like you were saying that it's, you know, it can't be like made up because a bunch of men are saying it, you know, are all saying the same thing. I think to a certain degree in these chat rooms, though, a lot of men aren't having these experiences per se, but they've heard about them, or they know somebody that went through them, or they just jump on the bandwagon of a post. I mean, there's really no way to really know, you know, for sure, like who's who and what's what. But, I mean, I feel like, you know, it can be a legit problem, though, because, like you were saying, the red pill, and we didn't even discuss, like, the men go their own way, which, you know, are usually divorced men who've lost everything. So they're, you know, really salty and have, you know,
yes,
issues with everything. So, you know, with all these different groups, from, you know, the men go their own way to the red pill to the incel group, you know, I guess for me it was, you know, being kind of like looking into this and being privy to some of the, you know, like conversations, if you will. I'm like, what's going to happen? Like, how is this going to work? Because honestly, like some of the complaints that men have, like as far as black women wearing weaves and the makeup, not that it's not going anywhere, but it's just going to evolve into something else. I mean, because women have always accessorized their hair and always accessorized their faces and things. So, you know, and the ones who didn't.
Because I feel like we've been saying that since like the 2000s, at the very least. Like black men have always kind of, I mean, I don't know. My experience, most black men I know have said that they prefer natural hair, but it's never it never got to the level that it is today. And that's probably, like you said, it's because everybody yells it on social media and it's become this thing.
Yeah, and it's probably not. I mean, I'm older, and so I was in high school in the 80s where women were wearing weaves. Everybody had the control Janet Jackson weave where I went to school, and the ones who wore that did, and the ones who didn't.
Man, Janet Jackson had a weave?
Yeah, the control. You don't remember the control album?
Nope.
You don't remember the control album, or you don't remember it being a weave?
I just never watched none of your videos.
Oh gosh. Okay. Well, we can't. Yeah.
So,
you just upset me all the time with that kind of thing. Anyway. So I mean, things like that have always been around. To the levels that it is now, no. But it just evolved.
I mean, because you got all right. So a lot of infiltration has happened because the red pill has spread, and it's just kind of funny how like different racial dynamics have. Let's just say.
I mean, because people never talk about Dolly Parton. She wears wigs and weaves.
Yeah,
people
but
never
it's
talk
like
about Cher. Cher wears wigs and weaves. Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian.
She's not wearing that for like acceptance, though. I guess that's what I'm. I guess what I'm thinking is like, y'all wear it because you have to fit in with like white society, quote unquote. And it's like I think. Black men are just kind of like, I've gotten to this, it's reached a head where like everybody's yelling about the fucking weave now. Every fifth is about that shit.
Yeah, and I mean, it is, but I mean, all girls, you know, even as a child, as, you know, and I have my own hair, and my own hair is long, but I would put a t-shirt over my head as a little girl and pretend that I was Rapunzel, so it's not like, you know, that it's, I don't think it's what we're fed as little girls. Like, how often, just until recently, do you actually see a dark-skinned woman in a magazine? I grew up, there were like three, and most of the time they were celebrities. You know, so I think, you know, when men say certain things, they have to understand, like, where it's coming from at the same time. You know, I look at Ebony and Kit, which really isn't around now, in essence. I mean, and that's like five pages long. Where are women seeing themselves portrayed in the media?
Instagram.
Yeah. I feel like y'all kind of have to do it for survival, too. I mean, assimilation is a big thing here, right? Cultural assimilation, especially like in corporate offices. So I've had jobs, so many corporate jobs. And like I've never seen a black woman in management that could wear her natural hair.
In California, we just passed a law.
We just
passed a law in California that it's against the law to discriminate against locks, braids, and naturals or afros. So I mean, to me, I think black men are mad about it, but they have to understand like where it's coming from. And it's not like our fault. Maybe I guess we shouldn't buy into it, but in a lot of cases, we don't have a choice.
So
yeah, you're right about that.
So that's we talked the racism, and now when we talk that racism, we talk about, okay, so there's societal expectations. There's societal pressures. You know, we can talk about peer pressures, whatnot. And so these things are things that affect, once again, those groups that you're attracted to. I mean, so for example, when I read on the incels and them talking about the women that go after the rich guys, I'm like, you know, those are groupies. Those are the women that would ruin your life. Right? I mean, we probably all can agree, a superhead, yeah, she would have gave you a great time, but she'd have ruined your life. and so it's like, so once again, we start talking about the categories. and how we perceive people, and then what you miss every day. Because while everybody's looking at that pie in the sky individual, and individuals who mimic the pie in the sky women, there are women who are sexy in their own right, and they get overlooked. Because I can't keep reiterating that I see a lot of women by themselves who, by all accounts, there's nothing wrong with them. But
well, we don't have ass, or we don't have titties, or maybe our tummy might be a little big, or we might not be tall enough, or we might not be light enough. So yeah, I mean, I think I can be sexy on occasions, and I get overlooked all the time. So I mean, luckily I give two fucks about it. But yeah, there are regular average women, like we would say, like a six or an adjustable six, that get overlooked because they're a six and an adjustable six, and men feel entitled to the seven, eight, and nine. I don't believe in tens because there's no such thing.
So now I'm gonna ask y'all. So we start talking about numbers. We define people by numbers, six, seven, eight, nine, and what to expect. And you talked earlier about beauty and how beauty is a compilation. And I would say, okay, but what is your list? I you know, because to me, there are just certain women that just, I don't care what they look like. They could be the quote-unquote finest, most attractive, got the sexiest walk, whatever. But I can't see them. I just can't, because it's just like, nah, because your attitude, you hear them talk and it's like, no. I don't even want to have a conversation. And so I say, what makes somebody 7, 8, or 9 in your eyes?
Okay. So for me, 7, 8, 9 falls within a certain body range and a certain like set of features. I'm not a colorist. Like I believe dark skinned women are beautiful. I believe all shades of women are beautiful. And for me, it's going to be like, when I look at you, do I see the softness? Do I see the curves that I like? I'm not going to go crazy over a stomach or whatever. I mean, as long as it's not like a Prego belly or whatever, but, you know, I think like having that range to me is pretty good. Like I would say a 7 would probably be like Pinky. I use her because
Pinky
is like
the porn star.
Yes, Pinky the porn star.
Okay.
Yeah. An 8
okay,
to me
know
is
she's
like
overweight, and that's a no-no. You do know that, right?
Here's the difference. Pinky actually has curves. She's not like Lizzo. Lizzo's like a 7 too. Lizzo is like, she has a big flat butt. She doesn't have like the actual curve. It's just big.
Yeah, but see, this is the problem that because Lizzo, probably outside of her being Lizzo, she might be a fairly decent woman. And I think that's like what women are complaining about and why they do rebel against like the weeds and the makeup. Because here, I do have control over my body, but to a degree, I don't have control over my body. If nine times out of ten, if a woman doesn't have an ass, most likely she wasn't born with one. Like Lizzo probably isn't born, but wasn't born with one.
Okay, I'll give you a gift of a 6.
Every 5 minutes and would never have an ass.
But she drinks whole milk. She drinks the whole milk drinking.
Oh. Like what? Yeah, I mean, and so, and that's part of the problem. Like, you know, in some cases, men were talking about like penis size or whatever. You don't have any control over that. And yes, women will make it a big deal. But I think that's like an issue that we all need. We need to discuss issues like that, that we have no control over. And start looking at who people are, because you can meet a beautiful woman with a beautiful body, and her personality and her character sucks.
Think face.
So does it matter? So then you're mad because you want this beautiful woman with this beautiful body, and you have her, but her personality sucks, and now you're mad about that. I mean, because nobody's going to get perfection. And, you know, that's part of what's so, like, amazing, like, listening to some of the comments. Is because, like, on each side, they're expecting perfection, and there's just no such thing.
Okay, I guess, like, one thing that always confuses me is, like, okay, when you say perfection, like, do you just mean, like, conventionally attractive?
So, from what I gather in the groups, a man, like, is like, sometimes they'll post this beautiful model. And then there's some, you know, chick, and some of the comments would be like, yeah, but what is her personality like, or what does she have an attitude? Is, you know, so I think men are looking for the perfection. They're looking for someone that looks like a model and has this beautiful, wonderful personality. And 9 times out of 10, a woman that beautiful, her personality probably is going to suck.
You want to know what's funny? You know what I just thought about when I thought about the red pill, incels, all that. There's an old group that I've interviewed a few times. GoTopless.org. It's the women who, and they have the website, GoTopless.org. Shout out to them. You go to their website, and they have pictures of men that are out of shape, and they're like, they can not have to wear a shirt, but we do. It's a whole thing, and it's women complaining about men. It's hilarious, and they have some of the greatest rallies because all the women don't have on shirts. Yeah, me and Marco, we met there one time in the L.A. area. So you in the L.A. area, yeah, it's an amazing thing that they do. And so... It's like I think that these are problems that could be solved if people actually were open to dialogue.
Agreed. I mean, because you have to admit, go ahead.
I was gonna say I kind of think we kind of need to have like a return of like a matchmaker. Because a lot of women you describe that maybe are under the radar, like if you put them directly in front of the men who are looking, I'm sure they would get paired up.
Yeah. So, but see, once again, it's just about those individuals. Instead of complaining, you got to go outside. See, because when you're on the internet, you know, more than likely you're inside. And I know right now we're in the middle of the apocalypse, but I'm saying. Apocalypse aside, once the apocalypse is over with, if you're in a place where there are a lot, because I would say comic book conventions in general, expos, traveling, when you leave the United States, you run into a lot of people. A lot of people just on vacation trying to have a good time. Not stressed.
You tell them travel. They think you want. They think you mean go over there and like go to Colombia, go to Thailand, go to Philippines, and like chat up some chick and try to like import her back here.
Yeah, no. No. see, we ain't talking about going somewhere. I mean, because you're gonna grab the groupies. They're trying to get to the United States. They're going to do that 5-year bid with you, and then they're going to move on.
Yeah, I try to tell people, like, that's a trap, man.
There's like whole shows and spinoffs about that very thing.
Yeah.
Whole spinoff on the show. I mean, being one of my best friends. I watched the whole. Yes, I watched the whole season of that garbage, and I'm like, man, people actually, you actually think that they're for you?
I don't really know a lot of the guys in there talk about it, but you know, those women probably are more submissive, but they're submissive with a plan.
Exactly. They are not going to save you. And I learned this from like watching so many seasons of 90 Day Fiancé that I feel like the people, well, foreigners have a fundamentally different view of marriage than we do. Like we think of it as like a love thing, right? They look at it in more pragmatic terms, like we're merging assets and resources together. And the people there don't, I'm like, oh, what, you don't love me? Or at least your love is conditional? Like,
yeah.
I mean, but everybody's love is conditional, though. There's no such thing as unconditional love.
I mean, if you've been with someone
for a significant amount of time, then it grows to that. But initially, there is, you know, love is conditional. It's based on the conditions that you make me feel the way you make me feel, and you do the things that you do to make me feel the way I feel.
Oh, I mean like broken back conditional. Not emotions.
You know, but you know what? That's oxytocin, though. When you receive that gift, let me tell you.
So I'm glad you brought that up. So you started talking about relationships and marriages in other countries. So we know that in other countries, they basically sell the daughter to that person. That person gives money and gives to the family, and that's how he gets access to that woman.
Yes, and they talk about that as yep. well in the group, and that's a sense of ownership. So then, yes, she is there for a property
mm-hmm.
and does what he says.
They have
campaigned for that to come back.
For as long as that green card takes. That green card is obtained,
you know, they have campaigned for dowries to come back.
Men in the Red Pill say to keep her in. Yeah, like men in the Red Pill say to keep the foreign wife in her country. Don't bring her back.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, and so now you start talking about all over the world, it's different, right? So.
Yeah.
We go to the Middle East. Hey, women, you're not gonna get you're gonna get exactly what you say you're looking for. You're gonna get that woman that she's never spoken. I mean, you hope that there could be some joy. Yeah, she'll be soft to a point, but you don't know what you're gonna get because she's never had a chance to form a personality until she got with you. That's a tough one for me, because I don't know if I'm ready to like, well, hey, there's some candy in there, but one of them might be poisonous. Yeah, that's what we're looking at. You roll in the lottery. So we talk about the devil you know and the devil you don't know.
I mean, some are saying, divorce rate's already, 50%, and then what do they say, 80% of women initiate the divorce or whatever? So it's like you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Okay. So, I mean, but that's the whole world, though. I mean, we pick a part of society. Pick any place because in other countries, women can't go for a divorce. The man can go for a divorce because that's the thing, and these guys, they'll kill their woman before they let them go. I don't know if I necessarily want to live like that. I mean, because we know how it is here. We got folks that we see the spouses. They're whole murder channels. I always talk about the ID channel and all these other channels. Their whole lifetime, their stories are based on American exceptionalism in relationships
hey, I don't want to be with you no more. Oh, you got pregnant.
You can watch the news.
I'm going to kill you.
You can watch Good Morning America. You can watch the Today Show. And you will see every week where a spouse has killed the other. So.
Yep. And said, well, I don't know where they went. It's me. I think that it's what this society breeds, and there are a lot of people who have been together forever, and there are a lot of people who haven't. And so I think that's just what it is. That's what it's always been. Henry VIII killed how many wives? So that was a long time ago.
But he was the originator.
Yeah, he took care of a lot of women. He went through his share. He's the king. Do whatever you want. I think that in these situations, there's some of it is just like, hey, you know what? You win some, you lose some. Now, I want to say this. First, Jeff, thank you for coming on.
Yes,
we're coming to the end. Thank you for coming on, man. And, hey, anytime you want to come back, you know, just let us know. We would love to have you. It's been awesome, Professor Jeff. You have schooled us. You know, because I just thought everybody that said red pill was batshit crazy.
Yeah. You know, and I was nervous as well because, you know, you and I had never really talked. So I was like, oh, I don't know, you know, like what side he's on, like to what extreme. Or I know you said moderate, but I think a lot of the men who are extremists feel like they're moderate. So I wasn't quite sure. So, but thank you so much for
I appreciate it. Thank y'all for letting me come on and say my
moderate.
So, brother. Is there anything you want to leave, any important words you want to leave to the audience? Speak your clout.
Man, that's a pretty big question to just, like, drop right in my lap. Okay.
Right there.
I can't even think more. By the time I hang up, I probably
you know what? You know what? You know what?
I would say...
Okay. Go ahead. We got roughly like 30 seconds.
Yeah, I would say just to the audience, you know, you don't have to be so self-interested in what you want all the time. Being able to be the best version of yourself, and then going into situations is better than going into situations hurt or going into situations not even ready for meeting someone else's needs. You know, we sit up here and argue all day about men and women, but being the best version of yourself and having that solid foundation is all that matters before you can get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But, hey, once again, thank you, sir, for coming on. It's been a pleasure. And anytime.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Y'all have a good evening.
All right. You too.
Bye.
All right. So, we wanted to know what a red pill was. We found out. And so, if you want to continue the conversation, we're in the chat room at smoothdrama.com. Please feel free to jump in and speak your words. And at that, for Miss Brown Sugar, I'm Mr. F the N-Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. We will catch y'all on the flip side. Be safe. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama.